precious heart to others. Lately, I've been going through a trial that is so very, very painful that it's testing my faith to the maximum. I wish I could say this is a happy, happy message, as the last one was, but it is an instruction in the midst of suffering for those who are yet in this place. We are all being called to patient endurance for the breakthrough. The Lord went more deeply into the scriptural basis for what some of us are experiencing. I think one of the greatest distortions of the Christian faith is that suffering will end when you become a Christian. Good luck. Many people buying into this logic end up leaving the faith scandalized. But when we look at the lives of the early Christians, how can we possibly imagine a life without suffering? It is the promise of Jesus' comfort in our relationship with Him that makes our suffering much more endurable, not to mention the promise of eternal life in heaven with Him. So, Jesus began, "My dear June brides, I know in this moment many of you are still undergoing torment. I am well aware of the trials that are besetting you. Even the strange things never before experienced are plaguing you. And yet you have shown your substance by standing strong in the midst of turmoil. Let me remind you that there is a deeper place for you to stand, a much deeper place, a place of peace and union with me that nothing can touch. I know the battle is raging on the surface, but at the depths all is peaceful and calm, and this is where I need you to reside. Part of your new season entails overcoming the things that have thrown you into a panic before. Fears, terror, stressors, losses, so much turbulence that has ended in loss. But what you are experiencing now can end in gain. All that is needed is your faith and obedience to go deeper, my brides, go deeper. There is a place where you can stand when the storm rages and be untouched by it. And I have been in that place before in my life, but I've also been in the other place where I was giving in to despair." He continued, "Deeper and deeper into my love, my arms, knowing that nothing can stop me from doing good for you and the kingdom as I offer your sufferings to the Father and we shoulder your cross together. Many of you have life and death changing events on your horizon. To you I say, whatever I allow will be for your best. You will in fact look back and thank me profusely for all you had to endure in this season. There is joy and good things coming to you, but you must stand until the work I am doing in your soul is complete. These are finishing touches on your faith. These are end-of-semester exams, structured to bring you into more stable footing in your faith than ever before in your life. Remember, the darkest hour precedes the dawn. You are approaching that hour, and your steadfastness in the face of these darkest trials and darkest of all circumstances is preparing you to stand through the next leg of your journey. In the faith that nothing happens to you in this life that is not to your benefit, I do not allow it. You may protest and say, how can this circumstance benefit me? I am facing the loss of everything. How can that be turned to good? This is where I am telling you that I am in control here, not the enemy. He thinks he controls life and death because I allow some of the things he does, using them for your good. But he is sadly mistaken. In all things, he is working for me. He is arranging the classroom that will ultimately lead to your perfection. I am in control. He is not in control. I will bring good out of this. He will lose. He has always lost, and is serving me and my purposes, like it or not. You may ask, how can a child be murdered and possibly benefit anyone? Do you not know that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church? Do you not know that to leave this earth is to live forever in sublime beauty and happiness? This earth is a pit of corruption. When I take a life into my bosom, I'm relieving them of their term on this prison planet. I'm rewarding them with a life that is so sublime and filled with happiness that you have no way to comprehend it. In the meantime, what is a loss for the parents is a great gain for the kingdom of heaven, and that their child will have carried a cross that results in the salvation of great many souls that were perishing in that hour. I know I've told you these things before. Please do not tire of me telling you, because my words are strength to your feeble hearts. You have only to ask for more grace to hold up under these trying circumstances, and I will give it to you. You will walk through the fire without being burned, for I am with you, as I was with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. It's Isaiah 43:2. But here the mystery of redemptive suffering is revealed as Paul spoke to the Corinthians. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And just as an aside, what he's basically saying here is death and suffering are things that we're going through to release life to you. This is another argument for redemptive suffering. Continuing to verse 13, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's 2 Corinthians 4. Jesus continued, fix your eyes on what is not seen, my bride. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your light and momentary troubles are achieving an eternal glory that outweighs every suffering. Suffering ends when you leave earth. It is short and temporary. Glory is eternal, eternal bliss, eternal peace. Eternal happiness on a scale never experienced on this earth. There is a place I am taking you to, if you are willing. It is a place of peace in the midst of turmoil, ambiguity, and contradiction. It is a place where the winds blow right through you without harming a hair on your head, rather than bowling you over onto the ground. It is a place of peace that so triumphs over every earthly suffering that you will actually care little when you experience personal loss, because nothing of this earth matters anything to you, and your faith in my goodness is unshakable. I want you to come to this place quickly, There you will find great freedom and be loosed from earthly fetters that bind you to themselves. I want you to have freedom, joy, and peace. But for this to happen, you must renounce the temptation to indulge the carnal emotions, self-pity, anger, fear, grief, accusation, unforgiveness, insecurity, and all that threatens your life. And here I'd like to add to what he's saying, unbelief, not believing in the goodness of God. And then he brought up the scripture, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's James 1:3. Jesus continued, if you can call out to me for more strength, I promise you greater happiness and peace than you've ever experienced in your lives. It is the peace that passes all understanding, a peace only I can give, and it will come when you allow trials to work deeply in your heart, to be detached from this world. Don't fight against the pain. Flow with it to a new pinnacle of peace.